Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, if you would please turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 6, the first book of your Bible, Genesis chapter 6. Again, welcome everybody to the house of God. Genesis chapter 6, we're going to begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Verse number 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Verse number 7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's go down to verse number 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Verse number 17. "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Verse number 22. "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Going into the New Testament book today, the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 17. The book of Luke, chapter 17. We'll be reading a couple of verses there, beginning at verse number 26. Here we go. 17:26. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Jesus, we love you. We are so thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. We're thankful to be together. Let your word be quickened, God, let it be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let your word go forth, God, and let it accomplish where it's sent, and let it not return void. We give you praise and glory. We thank you, God, for the spirit that we feel, for the power of the Holy Ghost that's able to quicken us, God, and bring our hearts and lives together. We love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord.
This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, "The Door is Still Open."
Amen.
The door is still open. Let me begin by saying how that it's hard to believe how that just... About 1.5 years ago, not only our world, but in essence, each and every one of our lives were adversely affected. As COVID, a viral respiratory illness, struck around the world, and it was in a short matter of time that we were faced with lockdowns. Lockdowns occurred, people were being separated from one another, a countrywide mask mandate was put into place, and several businesses, including churches, were being shut down.
Right.
No more congregating, no more church services, no more home gatherings, etc., and that were being mandated. And really, better said, what it is that we had known as our freedoms were swiftly being what was taken away from us. 2 weeks became 2 months, which became a month after month continuation
as seen fit by our health authorities, and frankly, what you or I thought or felt about what was happening, it didn't matter to them at all. I didn't ask you for your opinion. I don't care what you think. This is the way it's going to be, and it's going to happen now. So now, there's no, for that was our door to our freedom as a person, as we, as a congregation, to we as a society, was shut. And it was each month that people looked for hope. They longed for a reprieve in the lockdowns, the forced separation between family and friends. But sadly, it never came. And even once the door began to slowly open, many restrictions were they that still remained. It was like putting out bread for the bird, trying to lead it down the trail. Even though the doors began to open, they still had us locked up in different areas of our life, things we could do and things that we couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And so when reflecting upon what it was, and in some ways still is, that which is going on, one of the most valuable lessons of life that many have and continue to learn is how much their or our freedom as a people truly matters. Wow, we're free. We're a people that are free. And I guess what I'm saying today is this. Many of us take our freedoms for granted. Being able to come and go as we please, having no restrictions and concerns to our gatherings. I can go to church. I can go to Jake's house. And you can go visit Sally, and we can go to the store, and we can go shopping at the mall, and go get some gas, I can go wherever I want. I'm a free person in a free world. But you say, well, why? Why are people like that? Why? I'll tell you why. Because we are a free people living in a free world. That's why I expect to go and do what I want. And the point I want to make today is how that without much of a warning, many of our so-called freedoms were taken away. COVID shut the doors of the church, and that being our constitutional right of assembly. The pandemic worldwide saw people from every walk of life having to do without. Without what it was that they in their lives had been accustomed to being able to do on any given day that they chose. Suddenly you didn't have a choice. You couldn't do what you want. You couldn't go to church. In some cases, you couldn't go out maybe to do some exercise. In some of our provinces, they shut you up in your house. But when refocusing such a thought to ours as a people, being able to come to church any time that we choose, when considering our personal option of giving and living our life for God or not, in the land of the free, it is such an option that had come to a screeching halt in the name of health and humanity's public good. So now, no. No, you can't go to church. You cannot publicly meet to pray or even get together for a service. Whatever it is that you want to do, no, you can't do that. Even such things as weddings and funerals, where they were suddenly, which people could no longer even consider their right to go to, nor to attend. So why is that? I'll tell you why, because the door of such opportunities was shut. See, that's why. You thought you can go and get married. I was going to do a wedding last year, and that wedding got postponed and put off, and I don't know when they're going to do it if they found another way to get married. There's people that we know very close to us who had passed away, and you're not having a funeral. You can't get together. We're not going to open up anything to you. You just have to wait. And I guess today what it is that leaves me at times wondering just where some people's minds and thoughts are, when it is I who begins to consider such a time as now, when many of our freedoms and rights have been returned to us. See, you would think that with the church doors being open once again, those who had been considering living their lives for God, and those whose desire was to attain a closer walk with God, those whose need of the Holy Ghost or repentant. I want the Holy Ghost. And those who want to be baptized in Jesus' name. In fact, even those of us who, up until March 2020, had enjoyed our right to assemble and to be able to come to church. Now more than ever before, we'd be taking and in fact making the time in our lives to fulfill and to be the ones to seek, to enjoy, to return to such freedoms again. But to my shock and utter amazement as a pastor, this is for some still not an important enough freedom for them to be able to enjoy even now. Just a point of order, our church has prayer every Tuesday and Saturday night from 6 p.m. till 6:30. And pre-COVID, it for the most part was 100% attended. Service times on Wednesdays at 7 and Sunday at 10:30 and 2, well, they were well attended as well pre-COVID. And yet, with the restriction on gatherings and specifically speaking of church, a question I have for some of our church folks and to some who continue to make church a recreation by coming either when they feel like it or when there is maybe nothing else going on in their lives. Where are you? Where are you? Well, why? Why have you not made church and the fact that the church doors being open to you once again that of a priority? I gotta go to church. It's time to get up and get dressed. Wait a minute, it's prayer meeting. You know, oh, prayer meeting. No, it's prayer. We get to get together. You know, where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, I'm in the midst. So where's a priority in your being the one to show up at prayer or showing up to service by being there? Hey, listen, I can get my car and I can drive downtown and walk through that church door. So, Pastor, really, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? See, what I'm attempting to bring across to all of you and to those who, if the shoe fits, the fact that right now, at this present time, the door is still open. Mm-hmm. Right now, our freedoms to do as we have done for many years past is available to all who choose to walk through whatever door that stands open before them. And the point I want to make this day is in concerns to each and every one of us that we had better not start nor continue to be the ones to take advantage of the fact that the door, including the church doors, is still open. For in just a matter of a short period of time, possibly without much warning again, such a door, my friends and saints of God, today could be gone. Just, it might be what before you closes. Hey, well, get up. We gotta go to church. Comb your hair. I just want to go over the here's the news on the radio and I'm sorry, there's an immediate lockdown. Nobody can go nowhere. What? We've been going to church for months, for the last few weeks. I can go to church anytime I want. Wrong. See, I know I need to repent. I've been wanting to get my life right. I know that I need to be baptized. I know that I've not yet received the Holy Ghost evidence by speaking in an unknown tongue. And I know that it's been a long time since I have prayed through to where the living waters of God freely flowed. I know that I have allowed my experience in God to become cold. But, you know, there's no hurry. I'm not feeling the need for me to shake myself from that of my comfort zone in order for things in my life to change. I'm happy with life. I'm happy with the way I am. And I don't really think that there's any urgency in the air. And that could be today until the day that you maybe wake up to once again realize that such freedoms that we have been enjoying are gone. As the door to your freedom, to our freedom, is what swiftly closes. And hear me today. The next statement is not meant to be a scare tactic, but it just might have become the truth. And that is maybe this time, the next time, who knows just when such a door will open again. When's it gonna open again? How long is it going to be this time? Is it going to be 2 more weeks to flatten the curve? You know, is it going to be 2 more months until the next variant, or maybe what they call the next variant, finally ends? When's it going to be that we can get back together? I was really enjoying being being with my brothers and sisters in Christ and seeing visitors and having people come. And, well, the door was still open. How long this time? Journey with me, if you would, back to the days and the times of that man named Noah. A man whom the Bible says had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was a time when, for all of the people of that day, were as a majority, it was they who were doing whatever it was that they chose, and that is whether or not it was in line or in sync with God. I'm just doing what I want. So what God would have them to do or maybe not to do, it didn't really matter. I'm going to do what I want. And so in verse 5 of Genesis 6, as we read, the Bible says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, listen to this, of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. What a world. Out of control. And in verse 14 of Genesis 6, we find God instructing Noah to build an ark whose purpose was to ride above a flood that God was going to bring upon the earth. And only those who were safe and secure in this ark would be saved and spared the death by drowning. And so on went Noah with that of God's command to build this ark. And I'd say that in a very short time and in order, the people in Noah's day, they began to inquire as to why. Why Noah was building such a massive boat in the middle of a land where the need of such a boat didn't need to be constructed. What are you doing? I think you're crazy. Yes. Today, people think we're nuts and we go to church more than once a week, maybe once a month. What do you mean, prayer on Tuesday, church on Wednesday, prayer on Saturday, and church on Sunday? For goodness sake, you think that's not enough? See, when church becomes your life and not just something that I do for a casual outing, when God is a 7-day week plan, 365 plan, well, that things are different. And so from that time on, it was Noah who began to preach to the people before him. And the only way to avoid, he told them, of your being killed by the judgment of God is for you to be the one who gets into the ark in such a time that God calls for you, pardon me, to get in. Now, I know I've shared this and I've made this statement before, but if you would please bear with me as I make such a statement again. I believe in light of the face of humanity, people just like you and I, that during the 120 years that it took Noah to build such a large boat, the ark, I believe that with all my heart that there were those who helped Noah and those who in their lives who believed the words that Noah spoke and who willingly became part of Noah's purpose, that of God's warning to be ready to get in the ark when God would call. Oh, we're going to help you, Noah. We're going to build this boat, you know, and when he does come back, we're getting in that ark with you. Oh, my goodness, I don't want my family to be lost. And so, and to the doubters and, you know, to the unbelieving in Noah's day, those who likely mocked him all along the way, hey, why don't you guys come on down? Ain't no flood yet. Come on, Noah, you're kind of crazy with what you're doing. What it was that Noah was building, they were making fun of, as well as they're making fun of the warning from God that he, Noah, was declaring to that of the many of the readers' surprise. It was that which continued, as it was God who then started to cause animals of every kind and that 2x2 to come at an appointed time for them to get into the ark. Here you are, you know, you're out sowing your garden, maybe the wife's out picking leaves and the kids are playing in the yard, and two lions and two tigers, a couple of giraffes, and a couple of skunks, and no, not your neighbors, I'm sorry. And just different animals are coming in 2x2, and where'd they go? They went and they got onto the ark. What in the world? Where are they coming from? And as the door of the ark remained open, as the words of Noah no doubt continued to call out to his then known world, called out to their need of being ready to get into the ark in order for them to avoid perishing in a flood that was going to come upon their world. Come on! I believe that it was every day
that Noah would stop from his labors in order for him to call out to the people who stood around and watched them. Listen, listen, the door of the ark is still open, you see? It's still open.
Yes.
And it's you who, while it remains to be that way, you need to be prepared. You need to get on board. You need to be ready when God calls for us to come. Come on.
Right, right.
Help us finish and get ready.
Right.
He's going to call us.
Hallelujah.
The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, if you would like to turn there, you go from Proverbs and you flip over to Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. The writer writes this, the words, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Better said, you know, you or really no one, in fact, is promised a tomorrow. No one in their human existence is going to live forever in this earth. So from the words of the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it is all of us who need to do all that we or you can do in order to make your life count. As the doors of our own opportunity to remain open to us, especially in concern so that our living our lives for God, is we who need to make every day count. For the day, as we have already experienced, may very well come, where the door to that of our freedoms and the way of life may be what shuts, and again, this time, maybe forever. It just might be over. Congregating is what's causing a problem, so knock it off. For 120 years, many of the people mocked and they made fun of what it was Noah's building, an ark. Really? You mean it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights? The Bible says in Noah's day that God watered the ground with the dew thereof. They didn't know rain like we know rain. 40 days and 40 nights. Hey, Noah, what a joke. Come on, Noah, quit your fear-mongering. Quit your false lie and the fact that God's going to destroy the earth with water. I mean, it's been, what, over 100 years plus by now since, you know, you started your little project and, you know, your little magic trick of causing all the animals to come into your boat. Come on. Good for you. You know, all we can say is fooey on you. God's not going to do any such thing. And you need to stop your telling us that God's going to destroy us and get into your stupid ark. Just quit. Preacher, don't tell me I got to get my life right with God. Don't tell me I need to repent of my sins and go down in a watered grave and baptism in Jesus' name. And I got to seek until I get filled with the Holy Ghost and I speak in an unknown tongue. Just knock it off. Does that sound familiar? In the current day in which we live, on any given day, you'll find and you'll talk to and even plead with people in concerns to the fact of their need of God. Their need of making things right in their lives before it's too late.
Right.
For them to do so in a timely manner. As it's we to declare, listen to me. Listen to me, the door's still open. The door's still open, come on.
Yes.
The door's still open. The change for you to make things right with God are before you. Right now, you can still pray through. Right now, you can still come to church and it's you. And it's God who right now desires to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but all should come to repentance. God loves you. He wants to give you His Spirit. He said, I'll take your stony heart and give you an heart of flesh, and I'll put my Spirit in you, and I will be your God, and you'll be my people. So while the door to such freedom as giving and living your life for God remains open, it's you who can reconsecrate. It's you who can rededicate your life afresh to God. It's you whose sins can be forgiven, washed away in baptism in Jesus' name. Yeah, whatever. No, 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 please. Please listen to me. You need to do it now. You need to stop putting it off, which you know, as you procrastinate and you sit there ignoring all the warning signs that God has been placing before us.
You know, looking at the newspaper over the past couple of weeks, it's crazy. Every day it's like blaring off the pages. I have this little electronic province newspaper, and it's just like jumping off. No, no. Ignoring all the warning signs that God has been placing before us. You see, Satan's desire is to shut the door of the church and that of people's freedoms forever. And if you're so blind that you can't see all these warning signs, then it's you who needs to pray until God literally opens your eyes that you can see the pending agenda that Satan in his evil plan has waiting for you. You read in the book of Revelation and even in the Gospels, and it talks about wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines and all this other stuff. And the Bible calls that the beginning of sorrows. So you think this is the end of the parade, honey? It's probably going to be a whole lot deeper and a whole lot worse. Great. And it's your procrastinating, that one day might cost you, but this time for all eternity. I just put it off too long. I waited too long. You go over to countries where communism is in full force. Churches have to go underground. People have to sneak to get baptized. To get the Holy Ghost, you don't just exuberantly just let it go. No, they sit there like quiet little mice and they pray in tongues and they talk to God and connect with the Spirit of Christ. So what does the Apostle Paul say? He writes in the book of Romans, chapter 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 13. Paul puts it this way as he writes in the book of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 and 12. Paul says, "And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, and let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." See, right now, as the door is open, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Right now, you can have the freedom to choose to live your life for God. See, right now, as a saint of God, it's you who has the opportunity of being a soul winner. You can do what God's called us to do. As I've already said, right now, you can pray back through. Right now, it's you who can freely come to church and enjoy the presence of God that we enjoy. What a beautiful song service. What a beautiful Spirit of God. Just feels great. I just put my hands up automatically. I just surrender to God because I love what I feel. Right now, I can do that. Right now, that Spirit of God just flowing in us and through us today. And if you're here this day and you say, "Ah, oh, it's not going to happen again," you know, the health officials aren't going to try to lock us down all over again. Yeah? Well, newsflash. Because in some cities within our very province, the government and the health officials are at it again. And it's only time before they find reason enough to come back and do it to us. Well, it's not in our health region yet. They're not going to do that. See, it's the backslider, it's the procrastinating ones who need to get their heads out of the sand and thinking those thoughts. The reason is because one day surely is going to come when maybe not just the government, but God himself is going to be the one to once and for all shut the door of the church. To close the door of your opportunity, even feeling God, of your being able to escape the things that the Bible says are going to come upon this world. And all the while, some of you who sit back and who laugh inside say, "No, stop, preacher, pastor. You know, I got plenty of time to get myself back to where I need to be." I mean, what are you trying to do? You trying to scare the HE double hockey sticks out of us or what? This is a scare tactic, preacher. You know what? I wish I could scare the HE double hockey sticks out of you. I wish I could. But your life and your chance of being with Jesus Christ for all eternity completely lies within your very own hands. What I'm saying today is it's a choice. You know that? It's your choice. And whether or not you fear God enough to be the one to make yourself ready for him before the door for you shuts forever, and that's completely up to you. You see, I can't say this. You get to this altar, you kneel down and repent. Or else.
Or else what? I'll just get up and walk out your church doors. Fill the tank, that's it. You're getting baptized today whether you want to or not. You're going to live your life for God. Really? Not this generation. Not people in our day. Mm-hmm.
Could be week after week and month after month. You know, we hear the messages of salvation and we hear the call of the gospel. We hear and feel the Spirit of God as it beckons to our heart. Come unto me. Come on. Give me your life. Live for me. The Old Testament said, why should you perish? Israel, people got, why would you perish? Choose life. Don't be foolish.
In Noah's day, somewhere in the vicinity of 120 years, God called Noah along with his family to get into the ark. And I believe that it was Noah who called out to his friends, to his family members. In fact, I believe it was Noah who called out to all that stood there that day. Because I believe when he got in, people started to congregate and gather around. Come on, Thomas. Come on, Pete. Julie, really listen to me, honey. Sandra, you know Noah's telling us for a long time now. God asked us to get into the ark. He told us to get in. Come on. I believe, really, you know what? You don't have to agree with me if you think that I'm just, you know, putting on emotion, but I'm not. I believe that tears were streaming down their faces, all the family, and that their arms are outstretched, especially Noah. You see, the pastor, the heart of the shepherd, reaches for the lamb and for the lost. A hireling wants your cash and couldn't care less what you do with your life. Just get lost, pay your tithe, and beat it.
Come on now.
Well, there's a shepherd, and he sees that the sheep are out there, and they're wounded, and they're lost, and you know they're going to perish. Their lives are going to be taken with them, and they think it's a big joke. And I believe that he was there that day, reaching out. Come on.
Yes, 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 yes.
Get into this ark.
Yes.
And he did that until, as the Bible says, that God shut the door of the ark. He didn't have a rope or a chain, ladies and gentlemen, didn't pull it. What would your look on your face be to be one of those people in that day and suddenly, supernaturally, this massive door just started going like this? And it shut. Maybe it's not funny. But you know what? When God shut that door and the fountains of the earth broke loose, and even though some of them pounded on the door of the ark, there was really no turning back now. There's no turning back from the decision of not getting into that ark that was one time offered to them while that door was open. And so the Bible says what? The Bible says in the book of Luke that we read today, chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So let me say today that pandemic or not, in front of a further loss of our freedoms or not, some among us are playing fire. They're playing with fire. You're toying with your eternity, friend. And it is you or they who hold back and all but sit on the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God. So it beckons and calling for you. In fact, I believe God calls for all of us to be the ones to respond. We've got to be ready. In fact, we've got to get ready for the day when our current door closes. What door? The very door that remains and is open right now, offering to you the chance to do all of what I've been preaching to you about today. But go ahead and just keep putting it off. Go ahead and just continue to sit there unresponsive. Go ahead and continue to flaunt your sins and your spirit of backsliding in the face of God. And God, whether or not you believe it or not, you, my friends, are one day going to stand before him and you're going to give an account for your life. I was going to say, all right, give an account. Maybe a big screen will appear. The Bible says some men's sins go before them to judgment, and other men's sins follow after. It'll either be you who's going to eternally regret the fact that you put it off too long, or you're going to be one who's going to say, well done, enter into the joy of the Lord. And for the rest of eternity, you're shouting and praising in the streets of glory, while the others are rolling and tumbling in a hot, burning hell that maybe they didn't believe in, a hell they didn't think they were going to go to, a hell that they figured was just in a storybook called the Bible. See, the door remains and is open right now, offering to you the chance to do all of what I've been preaching to you about. So please hear. Please hear what it is I'm saying to you today. If it's you who needs the Holy Ghost, if it's you who needs to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, if it's you who needs to quit living a double life, a backslidden life before God, whatever your hand finds to do, hear this preacher today, do it. Do it with all your might, your strength. You better consider very seriously all of what you're hearing today, because it's not funny. See, spending your eternity in hell is not a joke. It's not funny. It's not just a story. It's why the Word of God cries out to you from its pages. It's why preachers who are brave enough to get up behind a pulpit, I'll tell you today that I could be in some churches today that the people would just get up and walk out that door. I ain't listening to this. I want to hear the current events. I want to hear the things of the day. Tell me something funny. Make me laugh. Yet it's going to be they and the people that are teaching them to end up on the wrong side of Calvary. Well, the door is still open. And in fact, every day and every time the door is open to this church, you, my friends, saints of God, need to be here. Because let me say this, please. If you're too busy for God to take time out for God, then you are too busy. You're too busy. I don't have time to pray, but I got time for overtime. I don't have time to pray, but I can get up early for work. I don't have time for church, but I got time to go fishing. I don't have time for God. The day's going to come when you, one day you're going to wish you did. You know, people, I've heard them say this. Well, it's just prayer. I mean, it's just Bible study. Morning Bible class. It's just Sunday afternoon, you know. Maybe as those thoughts are what go through your mind, just like they no doubt had gone through in the minds of those who this day are living in a complete, total communist country with all their rights and freedoms gone. You prayed out loud, you bowed your head in a restaurant in a communist country and thank God for your food, you chance losing your life, spending your life in prison behind bars. Although they would almost do anything in their life to get their freedoms back. But you know what we say as Canadians, as North Americans, oh, come on, it's not going to happen here. Okay, well, maybe for the past 16 months until we got that reprieve, then it's just been a figment of my imagination. You know, I guess I must have been dreaming it. Well, hear this loud and clear. If Satan has anything to do with all that has happened, the things that have gone on and been in place in our lives thus far, no doubt he's going to do all he can do to do it over again. And again, he might just do it worse. This time that door might close for you forever. You better take an inventory, friend. Where are you with God? We don't have a physical ark, but the church is the ark. This is where salvation is found. This is where at an altar you can repent and God can forgive you. This is where you can go down in a watery grave in baptism in Jesus' name and rise to walk in newness of life. Amongst the congregation of God's people is where God can help you and fill you with the Holy Ghost. You can get it in your shower. You can get it in your car. You can get it in your home. You can get it out in your backyard. But you know what? When you're with God's people and we're encouraging one another, the Holy Ghost seems easier and freer to flow. Some people say, oh, Pastor, if I only knew, if I only had a chance to make things right, you know, right in my life, if I wouldn't have fallen asleep and taken my freedom for granted, if I would have realized
that I need prayer and I need to be here. You see, when we gather together for prayer, what are we doing on Tuesday night? What are we doing on Saturday night for a half an hour? We're fighting HE double hockey sticks, so don't offend you and say hell. We're fighting for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for other cities and pastors and assemblies in our province. We're praying for people who are in grave danger of a loss of life. And you know what? If you were here, the more together we would bind together. And you know what? What about pre-service prayer? Well, that's when I'm supposed to get my mind right. And so 30 minutes before service, I've got to cook. I've got to go out. We're going to Denny's. No, I'm going to Boston. And I'm going to do this. You're going to do that. I've got to work tomorrow. I've got to make my lunch. And who cares? I'm here to see God. I'm here to feel the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, I believe in such a beautiful Spirit that was here this afternoon that in song service it opened. Those floodgates opened. Listen, friends, saints of God, it is you this day who can choose to do whatever it is that you want. You can just sit here and you can blow this message thought off as some have and had done before. Can't scare me. Or it's you who can be the one to shake yourself out of your place of complacency and do what it is that you know that you need to do before the door shuts. And your opportunity of doing what you want is gone. This day I declare to you one and all how that the door is still open. Your chance, your opportunity to do what you need to do, saved or not, before you is still open. Would you stand with me today? To each of us, well, the doors to our freedom, the door to that of our giving and living our life for Jesus Christ with our all, the door, the chance of you in your life doing what you need to do to be ready to meet God, is we, friends, who need to seize the day. Grab that opportunity, friend. You need to take that ball and run with it. Well, you, right now, well, you still can. Can I say this? Nonchalant, lackadaisical, altar calls are over, COVID or not. Because if some of you don't shake yourself from that of your complacency, you're going to go one day and you're going to find yourself, you lost out with God. And as your pastor, I'm calling you to step out today from where you are right now. Make your way to this altar, would you please? You can socially distance. Don't be a frozen block of sand. Just get up where you are. Maybe move to another seat. Just do something. This altar is open. You need to touch God. This could be your last chance. This could be the day the door shuts for you. God could call you home, honey. Get a hold of God when the door's open for you. Receive the Holy Ghost. If you're falling full under the Holy Ghost, why don't you maybe stand by somebody, man with men, ladies with ladies, why don't you pray? Why don't they touch them? Just stand with them and pray. God, help my brother, help my sister, help my friend today. I believe in God. I believe God's protection. I believe that God will watch over us. We don't have to be foolish, you know. But the door is open.